This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast on the 10th of February, 2025. Good morning, I'm Andy Eubank. CJ Miller here today with the news, including the importance of AI in an Indiana company's robotic melon harvester and turning the tables on animal activists. Today's HAT podcast made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin here too, calling for very cold weather this week and some occasional moisture possibilities. And going into the weekend Friday, the ag markets went lower on profit taking. We'll have Brian Basting market analysis here on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Keystone Cooperative's equipment auction continues this February on Purple Wave. Bid on a 2015 John Deere R4038 applicator, fertilizer delivery trucks, and more farm-ready machinery. With no reserve online auctions, top quality equipment from Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan is just a click away. Visit purplewave.com today, your trusted farm auction solution. Purple Wave, where smart farmers find the perfect fit.
Connecting artificial intelligence with the ag industry and voters shutting down animal activists at the ballot box. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. $375,000 in oversubscribed funding is how much money a new company based out of Vincennes, Indiana, has raised to expand their operations and further connect AI with the ag industry.
Without AI, this wouldn't really be possible.
And that's Mike Jacob, the founder and CEO of TerraForest. His company has developed a robotic harvester that uses AI to identify whether watermelons and pumpkins are ripe and ready for harvesting. Then the AI technology is used to carefully pick the fruits with very little human oversight.
We're solving farmers' most severe problem in melon production, and that's labor. Labor's hard to get, labor's expensive, and it was the conversations with growers before this company even existed that really brought it into existence and got it off the ground.
Jacob says the AI and robotic technology can also be used for more than just harvesting.
The other cool thing we can do with the machine in its current configuration is we can conceivably plant out the live plants at the beginning of the season. Right now that's pretty labor intensive. It's done by hand, but we can use these same robotic arms with different end effectors to grasp the plant and plant it into the ground.
Jacob says that TerraForest could have a significant impact on the U.S. watermelon and pumpkin industries.
It's going to make U.S. fruit more competitive with import fruit. If you look at the import trends for melons over the past 10, 20 years, all the growth has been captured by imports. Domestic production is flat to slightly down. That's because we couldn't compete on price until now.
He says they can reduce labor expenses by $690 an acre. He adds that TerraForest is also working on using AI to develop harvesters for other specialty crops, such as tomatoes, lettuce, and cucumbers.
Some of the recent developments that have enabled this are the use of deployable AI, edge AI, that we can have out in the field without an internet connection, determining what's a watermelon, what's not a watermelon, what's ripe, what's not ripe, and how should the robot travel to get to the melon and get it back up into the machine.
Learn more about Indiana-based TerraForest at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, if you're an Indiana livestock or poultry producer, you already know about the efforts by animal activists to try and shut you down and hurt you financially. Those activists tried to do that across the U.S. in 2024 using the ballot box.
The heartwarming part is that all of agriculture came together and helped fight these initiatives.
And that's Brian Humphreys, CEO of the National Pork Producers Council. He says there were a number of ballot issues last year wanting to eliminate animal agriculture altogether.
A couple of interesting ones. There was a ballot measure in Sonoma County, California, and Denver, Colorado. The one in Sonoma County was going to ban confined animal feeding operations, and 85% of the folks there voted against that, and so voted with American farmers. In the state of Colorado and Denver, there was an effort there to ban harvest facilities, and 65% of Denver voters voted with American agriculture to stop that ban. A couple of bright spots over the election where the voters stuck with American agriculture, and so agriculture came together in a strong way.
But these animal activists are continuing their efforts, which is why the Animal Agriculture Alliance is working to protect livestock and poultry producers. You can find out more at their website, animalagalliance.org, which you can also find that link at our website, HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Calling all organic grain farmers. Make plans to attend the Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting February 19th at the Beck Ag Center in West Lafayette. Hear from keynote speaker Dave Campbell of Lily Lake Organic Farm and connect with experts on insect ecology, organic markets, and biological amendments. Register online by searching Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting or call Ashley Adair 765-496-6362. This message brought to you by Purdue Extension and the Indiana Organic Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast, embarking on a cold week this week. Canadian high pressure already settling in over the Hoosier State to start the week. That brings colder air down through the next couple of days. However, before we get solidly into cold air that really is the number one story, we're going to have to work through a little bit of moisture. I don't think we have much initially here, but I am watching an area of disturbed weather get going here later this afternoon into this evening, coming out of eastern Oklahoma, moving through northern Arkansas, the boot heel of Missouri, and then generally across Kentucky and Tennessee. The largest part of this precipitation is going to stay south of the Ohio River, but I do think that as we move through tomorrow midday and afternoon, we're going to have to keep the door open to a little bit of light precipitation in southern tier counties of Indiana, and I think that we can see clouds go all the way up past I-70, maybe up closer to the northern third of the state. Do I think there's precipitation north of I-70? Absolutely not. Honestly, I think, again, the precipitation is limited to southern tier counties. I also think that it's mostly going to be wet snow, but I won't rule out a little bit of overrunning warm air into a cold air mass in the areas near the Ohio River either. So just kind of touch and go here. Liquid equivalent of any precipitation tomorrow is likely a quarter of an inch or less. So again, very, very minor overall. What's interesting is a secondary surge of moisture that gets going in the heart of the Central Plains later tomorrow night into Wednesday, and it kicks out eastward. Good snows across Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, and Missouri. And those snows will be moving through Illinois and right into the Hoosier State overnight Wednesday night into Thursday. I think we're going to be putting together a nice little batch of precipitation here, some accumulating snowfall. We'll see some rain mixing with it as well, maybe a thin area of ice. We could see all three rounds of moisture coming through Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday night, and into early Thursday. Liquid equivalent is going to be mostly 3/4 of an inch or less. I do think that we see accumulations from the U.S. 24 area northward as we head into early Thursday morning. We finish out Thursday with another round of cold Arctic high pressure sitting here. Should get some sunshine back Thursday afternoon and keep ourselves partly to mostly sunny on a Friday. Some clouds coming through over the weekend. Saturday the 15th, Sunday the 16th. That's which a little bit of warm air surging northward, especially Saturday. I think that gives us rain and potentially some wet snow for the weekend. Most of it happening before midday on a Sunday. Anywhere from a quarter to 1 inch of liquid equivalent possible, and then we follow that up with cold air again to start the week of President's Day. Next round of moisture likely coming the 18th overnight through the 19th. Once again, rain and potentially snow. So it's an active weather forecast pattern here. Systems coming through every few days, and that's going to definitely recharge our soil moisture profile, but also make us a little bit greasy, slippery, and also we're not moving out of the deep freeze super fast just yet. So I think we have to allow for multiple precipitation types with every single system that comes through. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Liquidation across the corn, soybean, and wheat markets to end the week. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. And the markets were lower all session long. We'll have those final numbers coming up. We'll begin, though, with market analysis. I grabbed it in the middle of the trading session from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Markets traded lower throughout the Friday session. Corn, beans, wheat all down. Double-digit losses in some cases as we look at the soybean picture. And, Brian, as we go into the weekend, maybe not too surprising that it was a sell-off.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Andy. I do think ahead of the weekend, there's probably more of a risk-off mentality, particularly with this large fund position that is in place in corn. Ahead of a weekend, again, with weather in South America on the front burner, trade issues, of course, on the front burner, with China at least. But it was just an opportunity after seeing a multi-month high, I believe March corn futures last week, Andy, made the highest price it had been at since last March, or beg your pardon, since last May. So risk off ahead of the weekend. And it was a pretty sizable profit taking. And we'll see what happens on Sunday night. But it was enough to spook the market a little bit on Friday.
Argentine weather. Can you review maybe the week in the weather forecast coming from Argentina and progress there and how that might be impacting markets?
It has been hot. It has been hot, and corn is pollinating as we speak, Andy. So I think that was one of the factors that did support that rally in corn earlier in the week, because we're getting some smaller crop estimates out of Argentina now. With the change in the forecast, which is now calling for a return to normal temperatures moving into the second week in February, and maybe some rain, not a soaker as such, but a more of a normal pattern, maybe moving into that second week in February, is just enough to take the edge off of the bullishness, because it had been quite bullish throughout that last half of January, of course, as your listeners know, into that first week in February with the hot and dry pattern. The month of January, Andy, across the key growing areas of Argentina was, I believe, the fourth driest in 45 years. So there was a legitimate reason why the corn market rallied, because Argentina is so important. But short-term weather forecast, getting back to your original question, it feels like it's getting closer to normal in the second week in February. Having said that, I do think that the last half of February, first half of March, is still going to tell the story. So I don't want to say we're back to everything is perfect in Argentina by any means, but taking some of the heat out of the forecast and adding a little bit of rain.
We certainly, over the weekend and into the new week, will be keeping an eye on any tariff discussions, specifically with China now, as we're on a delay with Canada and Mexico. So that's something to keep an eye on. Also, an upcoming USDA supply and demand update. Shall we brace for a very exciting report or a ho-hum February report?
I think you hit the nail on the head, Andy. I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, China trade is still important. As you said, with the pause with Canada and Mexico, it's moved to the back burner for the moment, but China's still important. But as you said, Tuesday, February 11th at noon Eastern time, the USDA will come out with their monthly supply demand report. You know, historically, Andy, there's been some variability the last few years, more so than the previous 5 years. There was a time in the late 2010s where we didn't see much movement at all in terms of futures markets associated with that February report. But the last couple of years has been more. And I would say this year, with the size of the fund length in corn especially, uncertainty about South America, uncertainty about trade, that there is that potential for volatility on Tuesday, February 11th. What I'd remind your listeners is that from a risk management standpoint, in my opinion, having positions in place prior to that report would be wise, because I think we could potentially see some fireworks with that Tuesday report. It's hard to say. Every report's different, but this one may have a few more surprises in it, whether it be South America, whether it be China, whatever the case may be. But this is the last report here that we'll get before the USDA publishes their outlook form estimates, Andy, at the end of the month for 25-26. And so that'll be interesting to see what they think about new crop at that point. But yeah, Tuesday at noon Eastern time, I think there's a potential for movement. You know, every report's different, but this one I certainly have a potential for some surprises.
Commentary from Brian Basting at Advanced Trading, his number 309-664-2314. And on the Hat Friday Market Review, the final numbers now. March corn, 487.5, down 7.75. A 7-cent loss on the May corn contract going to $5.5. July dips to 504.5, down 6.25. March soybeans 11 cents lower, 10.49.5. May 10.65.5, losing a dime and a quarter, 9 cents lower. July contract 10.81, and wheat a little lower all day. March 5.82.75, down a nickel. May 3.25 down at 5.95.5. Steady to higher in the meat markets. April live cattle right at even, 196.77. June up 27 cents, 192.10. April lean hogs, 92.15, up 40. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.